When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From Nashville's WSM Radio, the original home of the Grand Ole Opry, this is a Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Hey, it's Charlie Matos, and in this episode of our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast, always a pleasure to have songwriter Hall of Famer Steve Dorff in studio. Steve was involved in a new movie called Dead Man's Hand. He would write the musical score to the movie and three original songs as well, including the title track sung by Lewis Bryce. Enjoy our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast with Steve Dorff.
Mayor Thomas, where's he at?
Bishop's mayor now.
Hello, Roy.
I missed you by a day in Galveston. Three young men are dead there.
I didn't kill no one. Get your facts straight, friend.
Let's go.
Not today.
I ain't asking.
I said not today. I've just been given news that my brother was murdered.
I'm gonna give you one day in honor of your brother. Don't play games with me.
Get out of town. They're gonna string you up for killing the man's brother.
We gotta get the hell out of here.
You wanna join?
Win, walk out of here alive. Lose, it's your judgment day. Show 'em.
Are we ready for this? Dead Man's Hand. It's coming out Friday, and we are so excited that we have Steve Dorff with us. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to see you, Kelly.
I'm looking at this thinking, what? I mean, the Western is making such a comeback, and this one is like an exclamation mark on it.
Yeah, no, it's really a cool movie, and it's kind of reminded me of an old Sam Peckinpah film, you know, where especially with the use of the music, using songs and score. So it was a really fun project for me to do.
You know, it's so good to see you. Happy to have you in the studio.
Thanks.
Songwriter Hall of Famer, class of 2018. You've been involved in TV and movies and so many things. And then you come to Nashville and you're like, I'm leaving L.A. behind. I'm coming to Nashville, going to do some more songwriting. L.A. followed you to Nashville. You can't escape this, right?
Kind of, yeah. I thought that part of my career, the television especially, not being there, it's L.A. is a very out of sight, out of mind
right
kind of place, and so I thought, yeah, you know, maybe I'll do an occasional movie if they remember me, and then the phone started ringing, and I've got four movies, that two coming out and two that I'm right in the middle of writing now, so it's been great.
You did three songs for this.
The three songs for Dead Man's Hand and 62 minutes of orchestral score. It was a big project.
Mm-hmm. How fun is it to get to be a part of a project with your son Stephen when you see him?
Well, this is the first time.
Is it really?
First one, yeah.
Oh, I had just assumed you guys had worked together in the past.
No,
like this.
No, I think intentionally tried to keep that separate. You know, because we have the same name. I go by Steve. He's Stephen, and but yeah, this one came about and had nothing to do really with him being in it. I got a call from a producer that I had worked with years ago, and he said, "We've got this movie. We're in a tight deadline. We know we can't afford you, but would you be interested in doing it? Your son's in the movie." I said, "What movie?" And they told me, and I said, "Well, let me see it. Let me read the script." And they did. And the director, Brian Skiba, is just fantastic. I mean, he's a young guy. This is his first big movie for Lionsgate. He's got a 4-picture deal. And,
oh, nice.
And so I said, well, maybe if I do a good job on this one, I'll get to do the others. And so that's what's happening. So.
Incredible.
So I'm curious, the process of writing a score, they sent you a rough cut kind of so you can...
No, they sent me the locked picture.
So it is finished. Okay.
And I put it... But it's got no effects. It's got no sound effects.
It's naked, essentially, right?
Yeah, the bullets are like squibs. You know, you don't hear and I just put it into my rig, my Pro Tools, and I watch the scenes and I break them down and spot where music should go and along with the director's direction, music, because he's a musical guy. Mm-hmm. So he said, I really want to use a song here. And I go, really? I said, my instinct would be to score it, you know, underscore it. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, I want a song to play against what's happening visually. And I said, okay. And so Michael Jay and I, for a good friend of mine from L.A., we wrote two of the songs that are kind of, I call it scores. It's score and source music that work. And then Jeffrey Steele and Lewis Bryce and I were getting together to just write a song. And we were all talking about what we might could write. And I said, look, I'm doing this movie. They haven't asked me to write a main title song, but maybe if we write one... I'll play for the director, and hopefully they'll use it. And so we had no good idea that day. And so Jeffrey, of course, starts doing his guitar thing, and I'm playing piano, and Lewis is singing. Lewis just kills it. And we wrote this little song in about 40 minutes called Dead Man's Hand. I go, well, who's going to cut a song called Dead Man's Hand, you know? But we wrote it specifically for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Lewis ended up doing the demo. And when I played for the director, he said, who's that singing? I said, well, it was one of the writers, Lewis Bryce. And he said, we're done. Just master up the demo. And so it bookends the film, plays over the main titles and plays over the end credits.
When you are watching a film, I mean, I just want to get into your mind of what's happening at that moment, because obviously you hear the music, or you're hearing where it needs to go.
I sense it.
Okay.
It's just been something I've done my whole life since, you know, underscoring everything I've ever done in my life as a kid. I mean, when I used to go to a Little League game, someone would hit a home run, and I'd ask my mother, how did you hear that? And she'd look at me like I was nuts, because I'd be orchestrating the whole thing, him trotting around the bases. Other people would be cheering. I'd be musicalizing it.
And that's so fascinating, because for you, that is so natural, and for everyone else, it seems
music. Yeah, writing music for underscoring visual is natural to me as breathing. So
you'll love this, Steve. As a little kid, I would do the same thing, but I would be doing the play-by-play for the little kid hitting the home run around the base. So do you like going to the theater and seeing the finished product with an audience to see the reaction?
Of course. Of course, they don't play the music loud enough.
Right. Well,
because in the case of this this movie, you know, the horse's hooves and the bullets take precedence over the music.
Right.
But a great dub, as they call it, or a mix, is when you get that right balance and you feel the music more than you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a movie, the music should be subliminal and should make you feel either the drama or the romance or the action.
So that's so interesting that you say that. I would love to hear the correlation of when you obviously know the chords and where to start something if you want drama to build. You obviously know what that chord progression would sound like or how you would want to build it. How different is it when you're going in just to write a song?
Oh, it's totally different.
Okay.
It's a whole nother process.
It's a whole nother muscle.
For me, yeah. Yeah, when I'm looking at a scene, like there's a scene with Cole Hauser, who's, of course,
from Yellowstone,
very hot,
yes.
From Yellowstone. Yeah. And Steven plays the bad guy, and there's this great scene, and I'm watching it, and I'm hearing what it should be before my hands hit the keys. And then it's just a matter of, okay, how do I get into it, feather into it, and how do I feather out of it so you don't miss it when it's gone, the music, or it's not too abrupt when it starts.
Right.
It's got to sneak in under dialogue, and it can't get in the way of the dialogue because then you're fighting it.
Right.
So it's definitely a process. I've been doing it for so long now. You know, I've done 26 movies and 5,000 hours of network television, so I think I know how to do it now.
You got it down.
Yeah.
Well, how fun is it, though, to also be in this town? You mentioned Jeffrey Steele. You mentioned mm-hmm. Lewis Bryce. Mm-hmm. You're surrounded by some of the most fun people that are creative mm-hmm. and in songwriting, some of the mm-hmm. best. Mm-hmm. How much fun has it been for you to be rooted here now that you've moved here and have those people at your disposal, living right down the road?
Oh, I talk about it all the time. People ask me, you know what? I mean, this is a real community.
Yeah.
Los Angeles isn't anymore. The music community has become so fragmented. It takes so long to get anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you know, to drive 9 miles can take 2.5 hours. So, and that's been, and everybody, you know, it's just different. And whereas Nashville is still, there's still that rock solid sense of music community. And fortunately, I've been coming here for so many years. I have so many great songwriter friends that I work with and new people that I'm working with that I've met since I've been here. So it's been great.
Off the air, we were talking about a lot of projects that are coming down the pipe. So a little bit later on this year, why don't you come back and see us when we can talk more about those things?
Yeah,
Would you do that?
Of course.
We would love to have you back in here. I love chatting with you, and I'll see you in the neighborhood really soon.
Okay.
We live around the corner from each other. It's a good neighborhood to live in, by the way.
Okay.
We got a lot of friends that are over there.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a place,
okay,
come up. Charlie's not sold.
We could carpool.
We are so excited about this film. Thank you so much for coming in and hanging out with us.
Thanks for having
me. We're going to play the song right now. This is Lewis Bryce singing mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. This is Dead Man's Hand, out in theaters on Friday, everybody. Check it out. You're hearing it on WSM.
Thanks for listening to the Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And please leave us a 5-star review. This podcast was produced through the facilities of WSM Radio in Nashville, Tennessee. The hosts of Coffee, Country, and Cody are Bill Cody, Charlie Mattos, and Kelly Sutton. Producer Eric Markham. WSM General Manager and Director of Content and Programming, J. Patrick Tittle. Copyright 2023. Opry Entertainment Group Holdings, LLC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.